Love Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome once again to the Kate Thompson Live Show. It's that time on a Wednesday evening, 8 o'clock hour. Today is the 8th of February, 2017. Once again, you probably know by now, but if you don't know, my name is Eric Payne. Some of you also know me as The Son. I am The Son of you, and your name is?
Kate Thompson Payne. Thank you very much for Kate Thompson Live. I'm moving close to the room, which I'm going to sort of kind of, you know, grabbing a bite to eat as we do the show tonight. But anyway, hello, everyone. Boy, there's a lot going on in the world tonight. A lot of talk on politics with Donald Trump, Dump Trump. Anyway, let me tell people who we're going to be having on tonight. We're going to be talking politics, of course, Eric, and that has to be, you know, top shelf. But we're going to be talking also to Bill Katz, who is a writer, and whose books I refer to quite often, and he does a lot about Black history, you know, and we do use his books periodically. I'm smelling that food that we use and I recommend to a lot of teachers, you know, is Eyewitness, and it's a living documentary of African American contribution to American history, and it has been known to be in a lot of the teachers, you know, bookshelves, you know, to refer to different things happened in American history. Anyway, so we're going to be talking to Bill Katz. He's going to be calling in. Also, Wayne Gilman is going to be calling in, the former director, news director of WLIB, BLS, and Byron Saunders. And naturally, he is a fantastic historian. And he has been with us for a little while now, and we all have a nice family here, you know, with a lot of good information. And Bill Katz, you know, is working on a couple of new books and his old books that he's putting out again. And I'm so glad to see that, because the fact that people were asking about, you know, his books. So, and then also we are going to be talking, of course, about the latest news. And the latest news, and it has been in the news, is about Trump. What do you feel about Trump? What do you feel about the state of affairs right now, Eric?
Just recap before we're going to have some of our other guys calling in about now. But we can get into the discussion. Certainly, a couple of crazy things have been going on. And with this new president we have, got to keep an eye on him because he's dismantling and making all kinds of drastic moves and things like that that affect the country in a very severe manner. And he does it on a daily basis, clueless as to what he's doing, from my perspective. We can say that last night, well, let's talk about today, the very closest, and I know that we're going to get off into the conversation with the various people. A lot of people have been talking just within the last hour or two about Donald Trump's tweeting, because Nordstrom's, this department store, clothing store, decided to have the nerve to drop his daughter's clothing line from their roster of stuff that they sell.
Yeah, what happened?
what happened was that, like I said, they decided to drop her stuff on the number of items they sell, I believe, probably because of sales. And Trump, who happens to be the president, as we all know, and are suffering through on a daily basis, he decided that he would tweet out, talk his displeasure with that move by Nordstrom's, that he was upset that Ivana was a nice person, yada, yada. And he tweeted out that they, you know, stopped selling her clothing line on his own tweet page. And then he reposted the tweet on the official President of the United States, POTUS, tweet page. So you know, a lot of discussion has been during the course of the day that, you know, you never had a president doing this, basically using his bully pulpit to first, A, get back at or take a swipe at this clothing store that decided not to sell his daughter's line because of a business decision. And B, you're the president of the United States. We understand that, Father. We understand the intent, the habits and the responsibilities of parents. However, it changes when one becomes the president of the United States, leader of what's called the free world. And for this guy to tweet something in favor of his daughter because it's affecting his daughter's ability to make money, that's kind of the gray area that people talk about, the conflict of interest. You can't influence something to make money for yourself or your members of your family, although they say that doesn't follow up to the president. It is just in bad taste and in bad it's unethical. It presents a whole bunch of ethical questions that people have been commenting on all day.
He's running his business from the White House, okay? But didn't his daughter have an office? Didn't his daughter have an office upstairs in the White House or something?
No.
Okay. That's what I had heard, but I suppose, you know, that's not,
no.
You know, accurate information. However, you know, and he's very insulting. He's I don't know what to say about Trump. Before, you know, people were taking him seriously. I can't take him seriously. Every time he says something, you know, it's like a big upset. And he tweets. Why does he tweet? What is that all about? He gets up early in the morning and the a.m. and then he has these thoughts and so he tweets and he and it's really becoming to me like a big joke, except for the fact that he just happens to be the president of the, you know, the world, really, you know, with the United States. This country's powerful. We need somebody who's really going to take things seriously and knows what he's talking about. I don't understand how he's just, you know, appointing these people to these various jobs, and they really are not qualified in the job. So I don't know that.
Yeah. So Trump did that, and it's just really kind of ridiculous the things that this whole administration is doing. Secondly, last night the Senate rebuked or they silenced Elizabeth Warren. For they claim disparaging another member of the Senate, which is ironic and really quite, you know, that's really a stretch in pushing the boundaries of the powers of the Senate, because she was reading a quote from first Senator Ted Kennedy, who can arguably be said was probably one of the greatest senators one of the most respected senators to serve in the United States Senate, and secondly. She decided. She also quoted Coretta Scott King, which that's when Ms. Mitch McConnell got up, and because they warned her first, I guess they didn't know that she was quoting Ted Kennedy, which probably is not surprising. And they warned her about disparaging another senator. Talking about Jeff Sessions, by the way, this is the Jeff Sessions, the senator speaking out about against Jeff Sessions being approved. Approved to be Attorney General, and so you know, in the course of her speaking out, she quoted Ted Kennedy, and then again Coretta Scott King, and that's when Mitch McConnell decided to go ahead and have her silenced, as if they don't want anybody even saying anything against Sessions' nomination, which is unbelievable. That she couldn't even quote Coretta Scott King as well as Ted Kennedy. And this is just another matter of I'm going to open up the mic real quick because I know he's about to chomp and get in here. Mr. Wayne Gilman, our other co-host. How are you doing, Wayne?
All right, Eric. I you're right on point, you know. The
right.
Unfortunate thing is that I heard they just approved of his nomination, you know.
Right, that probably just started with this happened within the last couple of minutes, which is ridiculous. And
yeah,
what's even
is.
Further,
it really
even,
is.
Even more ridiculous is the fact that they silenced her when she was quoting Coretta Scott King and Ted Kennedy, one of the greatest senators to ever serve in the United States Senate. And the fact
exactly.
that they decided to abuse, this is an abuse of power. This is an abuse of power. This is what they spoke about Jeff Sessions when he was nominated a long time ago for whatever position he was nominated. This is a complete abuse of power that the Republicans are exercising at this point in time. They're exercising that in the White House. They're exercising that in the Senate. And it is utterly ridiculous. And they're not above lying about the truth. Every single one of them, they seem, not every single one, let me take that back, but a lot of them that I see seem to want to lie about the truth. And this is just, it's utterly ridiculous what they continue to do, silencing her. And she was quoting Coretta Scott King about her. Coretta Scott King wrote a letter mentioning that Jeff Sessions had tried to prosecute, I think, either protesters at the time in the 60s, civil rights protests. What he was doing was trying to prosecute people that were helping people to register to vote. I think that was what her letter was in reference to, which is what Elizabeth Warren was quoting, and it's just a travesty. And I'm learning a whole bunch of things about this country, that it is not the country that it pretends, but we're seeing the true colors of a lot of these people. And we need to get off further into this, but our guest now that we've been waiting for, Bill Katz, is calling. So we're going to talk to him, Wayne. Mom, we're going to talk to him and open up Mr. Katz's line. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Mr. Bill Katz, to the show, historian. A historian of African American history and an art collector, I might say, as well. How you doing, Mr. Katz?
Okay, nice to be on with you.
Nice to talk.
Can you hear me?
Dr. Katz,
yes.
How are you?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm looking at
Mr. Katz
here, you know. Yeah. How are you doing, Bill?
Very good, considering the state of the United States.
I know. What do you feel? How do you feel about Mr. Trump, President Trump?
Yeah, we have something to deal with there, with this administration.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You think we'll survive?
Well, I'm not. I don't know. I hope so.
Well, listen.
It's really. We have people in charge who. Don't particularly like their jobs, but they like throwing around their authority.
Yeah, yeah, and it's unfortunate because he's so unqualified. You know, it's just becoming really amusing if the boy's so serious, really. But Bill, listen,
that's exactly right.
But I understand that you are really, you know, rewriting or not rewriting, but you know, letting some of your books come out again. Or you're trying to
yes,
book
some
or
of them are
what's
scheduled.
Going on?
To come out that I did. Africa World Press, actually there in New Jersey, Trenton, I believe.
Oh, really? Okay.
Is bringing out a couple of my books, including one that I just mentioned that people are going to find interesting. I wrote a book on a history of the Ku Klux Klan about 20 years ago, and they've asked me to update it. So I'm bringing it out with a new introduction that talks about this 2016 election and what that has to do with the Ku Klux Klan and the new administration.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Right.
Wow. Boy, oh boy. And it's coming out?
But of course,
it's out already or what?
Excuse me?
It's coming out or it's out already or what?
Oh, no, it'll be out in a month or two or three. Right.
Okay. Then I need you to come right back on the air, you know, so by that time I'll have the book, I would imagine, and then we can go over that and, you know, let people know exactly, you know, the history of the KKK. Because there's someone in Trump's administration who was affiliated with the KKK. Is his name Bannon or something?
Well, not the KKK, but this alt-right group that is... somewhere between the Ku Klux Klan and the neo-Nazis.
And the neo-Nazis? Okay. All right. Wow.
Well,
boy.
Kay, one thing that we have to mention is that Donald Trump received an endorsement from the KKK, and he said anything, you know, against that support, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Never acted like as if there was something unusual about it or harmful about that, because that was his audience. That's who he was targeting.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. As a matter of fact, he first said, well, they said, he was asked about white supremacy, and he said, I don't know anything about white supremacy or the Klan. I mean,
yeah,
now, what,
sure.
What high school student or graduate doesn't know about the Klan and white supremacy?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, as you mentioned that, Bill, I'm taken back. The other day, but I think either today or yesterday, he said that the average high school student would understand his position with respect to this ban on immigrants. You know, it's just what comes out of his mouth. I mean,
yes.
It's so deplorable.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
And,
I wanted to mention, though, is the really terrible situation that's taking place out at Standing Rock, where 200
yes.
or so Native American nations have united behind the water protectors and the courts. I don't know if you've seen, and the Trump administration has just reversed all of the protections
right.
that the Obama administration had left in place, and they're moving ahead with this pipeline that already has a bad record of oil spills, and
yeah.
it's frightening because they're going to bring 470,000 barrels of oil through a 30-inch pipe from North Dakota across four states to Illinois and under the Missouri and Mississippi River down to the Gulf of Mexico. So it's going to threaten the water supply of 17 million ordinary people all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, in the Native Americans, they've exhausted all their legal remedies. And it's a frightening situation because here they are, unarmed, and from what we've seen before, the local state forces felt no remorse in using rubber bullets against them and tear gas canisters,
yeah.
in which one woman
yeah.
was severely injured in her arm.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are men, women, and children. And also the other thing they did that reminds one of Birmingham in 1963 was they turned water hoses on the people when the temperature was below zero out there in Dakota. So they're facing a really grim situation. I've been writing about this in connection with my writing on Black Indians and my book on the subject.
Okay. Wow. Well, you're going to be keeping us up to date, right? And you
Yeah, well, at that point, you know, what I've just said is about the most up to date I can get, but things change every day, it seems.
Exactly.
One thing I'm curious about, I mean, I know we're out here protesting and we have to continue doing that, but you know, the Native Americans are really at a disadvantage. I mean, what could be done basically to you know, it just baffles my thinking process, because it's like I almost know the answer to everything that I want to ask regarding Trump, because he just seems to say unequivocally he's not about to change or alter his position. You know, he's gotten some members of the Republican Party to go after dismantling the Environmental Protection Agency
right.
and the Department of Education. What could be done
at the Department
at
of Education?
Point?
Isn't that a joke? The Department of Education with someone who's not even qualified. What are we doing? This is absolutely absurd. But Bill,
I know,
listen,
it's frightening.
I want to get to your book. You're going to be putting out, doing something or what? Bring us up to date.
On what?
On what? Yeah. On some of your books.
There are a few coming out, but I didn't want to talk about that, you know, because they're not out yet, and you know, there's no way anybody.
Okay.
I'd be happy to come back on if you want to, you know, when they come out,
that?
I can let you know. And
sure, okay.
But Black Indians is around. It can be ordered through Amazon or through the publisher, Athenaeum.
Okay.
And actually,
so
I would like, I'm talking to the publisher about bringing out a new edition, because all of what has happened out at the Dakota pipeline struggle there, and I think requires a whole new introduction to my book, because so many nations have come together, and Black Lives Matter has shown up in force. I even have photographs that show that. And all of this is taking place. It's kind of a reenactment of the history that I trace in Black Indians over the 500 years that they've been getting together to fight for justice and against oppression and colonialism.
Yeah, Mr. Katz, you mentioned the Dakota water pipeline situation, which is despicable. Let me also open the mic also as well for our resident guest, Byron Saunders. How you doing, Byron?
I'm feeling great. Thank you very much. I'm listening to this your talk about the situation in the Dakotas with the pipeline. Interesting stuff indeed. And listening to, of course, your esteemed guest, Dr. Katz. Thank you for sharing that information. It's good stuff.
Yeah,
the
pipeline. The pipeline, that's a despicable situation with the TransCanada, I think is the name of the company. They say that the oil won't even be sold in the United States. It's going to be sold overseas in Europe and things like that. And it is, you're right, reminiscent of history repeating itself when they turn those fire hoses on people in sub-zero degree weather. I read an article years ago, and this was predicting that water will be the next commodity. And clearly, we're dealing with individuals that have no respect for the environment. Obviously, we have a president that appoints a guy who was suing the EPA to be head of the EPA, which, if you can believe how ridiculous that is, and would like to dismantle the EPA. These people have no respect for, first, sacred lands for these tribes, and secondly, they have no respect for human life and certainly life of people of color. And as they make water the next commodity, and as they, through these states, that the water that this pipeline is going, that we already know they've had leaks on these pipelines. You can go on the internet, you can go to Facebook, and there are pictures of these pipelines bursting, and water, I saw one picture of oil was just spewing out along into the forest. And this is ridiculous, considering, when you consider that these things, if we remember Exxon Valdez, those of us that are old enough to remember, they're probably still cleaning up. The last I checked, they were still cleaning up. They're still feeling the ramifications of that oil, of the tanker that went aground there. So these are things that, you know, seem to be, I don't know how you guys feel, I can imagine, that the Republicans seem to push anti-environment, anti-social programs that Trump and his people are dismantling. I mean, before you came on the air, Mr. Katz, I was just talking about how they silenced Elizabeth Warren last night on the floor of the Senate.
Yes,
and when
I saw that.
When she was quoting Coretta Scott King. It is really ridiculous, the abuse of power that these people are committing, the abuse of power that the president is committing because Nordstrom's decided to stop selling his daughter's products. And then you have the first lady, I guess alleged first lady, trying to sue a company because, as her lawyer put it, it was damaging her opportunity to make money on her brand. And I'm paraphrasing that. But these people, all they look at is that this is a way for them to enrich themselves. And we know that presidents have done that before, but no one has done it quite to the extent of Donald Trump. And the one thing that gets him over is that, and I think that gets him over with the extreme left as well, is that he'll say things that the extreme left agrees with. Like when he said, what, do you think America doesn't murder people? You know? So, I mean, we know things like that. Those of us on the extreme left, you know, that's where people have to go, America has murdered people intentionally. And I'm just going to, you know, I just want to throw that out there for everybody to discuss. Particularly, I want to get to our resident historian, Byron, to see what you think about that, particularly the statement of what you think America hasn't murdered people.
The thing, there are two dynamics that are going on that are very disturbing on Capitol Hill, and which bears some very serious concerns about the future of our federal government. The first and foremost is that the Republican Party over the last 8 years, and actually about 15 years now, have made it a concerted effort through their trickle-down concept, and you have to throw in this public-private partnership. There has been an effort to render the federal government dysfunctional. And by what I mean by dysfunctional is you, when you begin to put a freeze on hiring in the federal government, when you begin to hire individuals as secretaries who are running these federal agencies who have no concept of how federal government operates and how to run a federal agency, disseminating billions of dollars of tax dollars back into the system, then we have a major, major problem, because at the end of that line, when the Republicans have rendered every federal agency completely and totally dysfunctional, then you have going back to the Civil War concept, and Dr. Katz will probably confirm this, the southern states to this day refuse to acknowledge that the Civil War was about slavery. In their mindset, yeah, the concept of states' rights was the only issue. Now, when you render the federal government's the power of the federal government over all 50 contiguous states, that's what the Civil War established, was the authority of the federal government over the 50 states. Now, when you start to render and make the agencies dysfunctional, then it's going to be the conversation in the Senate and the Congress to engage back to the states the rights to determine how and when and where the funding out of the tax dollars go back to those states and how they are to be spent on their citizens. Now, here's the second part, which is very dangerous. They're openly committing, GOP is openly committing acts of sedition and treason. When you restrict truth into the records of the Congress, they're violating their sworn oath to protect the citizens. And this is where it becomes even more important. The mandate to protect all of the citizens is the fact that the popular vote went to the other candidate. So they don't have a mandate with respect to even voting in Sessions and restricting truth being read into the congressional record. These are openly criminal acts of sedition and treason. And I'm going to quote Michelle Obama. When they go low, I'm going to quote Byron C. Saunders, the Democrats have got to go hard. They have been playing defense for far too long. And we just had an analogy of showing why defense doesn't win Super Bowls. Offense does.
Okay. Really? Was it offense or was it laying down?
The Democrats have been playing defense for far too long. Coaching and offense wins the Super Bowl. We just saw it happen. For 60 minutes, they played a great game. Somebody's got to win. But if you're playing defense, and you can't win the game. And the Democrats have got to stand up now and start fighting toe-to-toe. That's what it's got to come down to. And you know who's important in the Congress now? Probably the most important person who can render this and bring it all to a level of sobriety and senility that is set in and bring it back to some sense of common cause. That is Congressman John Lewis. He knows how to shake down and bring and close down the government with respect to civil disobedience, and it's coming back. You're seeing it in the streets. So, Dr. Katz,
yes,
how do you feel? I mean, I just threw out there some stuff that's got to be handled.
I've just been listening.
The
only thing I would add is that I see as an historian an effort to go back to the early 19th century kind of capitalism, where there were no rules and regulations, and the federal government didn't even put through a pure food and drug law until 06, and the idea of getting rid of all the regulations, do what you want, ignore the Constitution, give it back to the states, which also, by the way, is another way of giving it back to the forces of white supremacy, because that's what, when they were fighting for slavery, as the Confederacy, they simply wanted to classify their slaves as property and say, you can't regulate our property. And now this is a modern version that we're dealing with.
Yes. History is repeating itself.
Yeah. So what do you think that should be done? What can you suggest that the country do, or different organizations do, other than organizing and speaking? What should we do?
Go.
I think the Speaker of the House, Pelosi, with respect to the minority, Speaker of the House, Pelosi, first and foremost, they have the capacity, as they did for the athletes who were on steroids, to issue congressional warrants for the arrest and charges of sedition and treason. Go on the offense. Make Mitch McConnell stand in the well and defend his the things that he has done with respect to charges, criminal acts of sedition and treason. You got to play an offense that splits it. You got to play hardball. And if for nothing else, it will bring them to the country's attention of what they have been doing with the ridiculous agendas and the initiatives of playing obstruction for 8 years against a president who is their boss. These are federal government employees. They don't have the right to just arbitrarily not respect and obey the laws and their boss. They don't have that right. And they've been walking the streets without impunity. And it's time to bring them to the feet of the well and say, explain yourself, because these are the acts you have broken and committed with respect to protecting this country.
Let me just hop in real quick, because you mentioned some interesting things that I wanted to get in, and I'm sure Wayne wants to get in too. First off, when you talked about the whole trickle-down thing that they've been doing for 8 years, that's exactly true, because when you render the federal government, or you make it look like the federal government is incompetent, and then you make way to hire private contractors and say, we need to, you know, privatize health care, we need to privatize Social Security, because you kind of claim that the federal government is doing a terrible job. But the whole reason the federal government is doing the job in the first place is because when you hire the private contractors, they try to make money off of people. And so they do things that are unethical, so you can't really trust them. So the federal government was the arbiter of making sure people would play by the rules and meet these regulations. That's why they're put in place in the first place. And secondly, you know, the whole kind of dumbing down of the political system, which started, I believe, most recently with George Bush, with George W. Bush, when they tried to say being a C student was okay and make that okay, and tried to make it a negative thing to be intellectual and smart. When Obama came along, is what happens is that they kind of have fostered or promoted this argument, this notion that anybody can do government, that the government, that anybody can do these jobs. And like you pointed out brilliantly, Byron, is that, for example, if you want to get operated on, you're going to go to the best surgeon you can find, not just somebody off the street. So the operating and the infrastructure of government, there is a job requirement. There is some know-how that is required to run the government. And so when you get people who come in who think that just anybody can do it, like a Donald Trump, like any one of these other individuals, when you get people who come in and do that, then they kind of belittle the responsibility of government. And so this is what they, you know, like you said, they've had this trickle-down thing, and they've been doing this over and over again, and this is the plan that they put in. Wayne, go ahead.
I'm listening, there's so many points that were brought up, but going back to Byron's point about the Democrats being more offensive, being more on the offense to just change the level of the playing field. That's been talked about for quite some time, even going back to the time when Barack Obama was sitting in office. There were instances in which things were allowed to happen, and yes, they were documented, they were memorialized, but yet business as usual continued. And sometimes I think, you know, it's good to have I'm not saying that there should be a need for term limits, but sometimes I get the impression there may be tired blood within the Democratic Party, because although they're making their voices heard, not enough seems to be so resounding that it seems to have an impact on the other party, except for some of the young people who are now coming into play. And when I say young, Al Franken's my age, and he's not young, you know. Al Franken's a new face. He comes from a comedic background. He's not an attorney, and he may be the first Jewish president if he were to run in 2020, because there seems to be a lot of latent support from what I read for him. And I've had the pleasure of working with Al, but I mean, the thing is that everybody's got to step up. It's got to be not just a typical Sunday morning thing that we hear from Schumer. It's got to be everybody. The Black Congressional Caucus has to be more active. You know, I mean, all these things that I see, Dr. Katz is absolutely right. They are blatantly ignoring everything, the Republicans. They are putting in people who don't even, you know, whose credentials and pedigree don't even match the level of appointment that they're being given, and yet these people are controlling our lives for the next 4 years. And again, I never hear enough about impeachment. I mean, I think that's what we should be dealing with now. I mean, I can't sleep comfortably at night. I don't know about you guys, but I think about this all the time. You know,
sure.
I think about all these social programs, and New York is so dependent on federal funding. This is a state in which I reside in. You know, they're talking about blocking immigrants coming in. I just heard a story from someone that does some work for me, and he was visiting the Ukraine, and he came back in because he's a Brazilian American citizen, born in Brazil but American, became an American citizen. You know, they had to put him in a separate line when he was coming back from visiting Ukraine recently on a vacation, because he was born in Brazil. His passport had an X on it, and any American, say you, Eric, Byron, anyone born in the continental United States, they were put on a different line. You know? I mean, already this kind of, I mean, either you're American or you're not. You know? The thing that bothers me is that this guy that we are now forced to call president ran a Bertha campaign for almost 8 years. And now he says, you know, if you talk to Barack Obama, I think if you get him to admit it, he likes me. I think he's my friend.
Yeah, right.
There was an interesting article in the New York Times the other day with Eric Schneiderman's picture and asking the question, is this the man to bring down the president? And you may recall that, as I said, the day after the election, I had an opportunity to be at an awards program with the Attorney General, and I had a private conversation with him where I asked him, I said, you know, I said, Eric, it seems that you're going to be pivotal in having to bring the hammer down with respect to the law and the Constitution. And with that in mind, I asked him the day after the election, I said, Eric, is it possible for a president-elect who is convicted of fraud or sex or rape charge to actually be sitting president? And he said, it looked like to him that they're setting this up for Pence to be the president. Now, with the article a couple days ago, the article was identifying Eric Schneiderman as a potential slayer of all that is happening. And remember, 2 weeks after the election, Donald Trump settled the fraud case of his Trump University with the Attorney General of the state of New York. Now, if you're going to impeach someone, Wayne, and Dr. Katz and Eric and Kay, you have got to bring to the well not just charges that you are conjecturing that have been violations. You've got to bring to the well absolute substantial evidence that this individual has broken the law. And it's going to be the same for those who are the GOP.
Let me just jump in here. You know, it's not moving fast enough, you know, to quiet this guy, you know, Trump. Black Lives Matter, you know, we have to really now depend on our youth, okay? They have to really, you know, congregate together, which they're doing. And bless these kids because they are not taking this stuff. They are getting out in the streets and doing something about it. And that's what we need. We need a movement. We need a new movement that's going to be involved with a whole lot of people and younger people. Okay, because, you know, this is ridiculous to have, you know, a president that, you know, is so vile. You know, at first I was laughing because he is a comedian. You can't take him seriously. But that nonsense can be absolutely detrimental to the country.
We have another situation that's very dangerous as well, and that is this notion of bullying. Because we're out of control with respect to that. And when the world leader, who is the leader of the free world, the United States of America, is perceived by other nations to be bullying them, this is not healthy. And even Gorbachev said it looks like to him the world is preparing for war.
Yeah, I read that.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Also, there is a feeling that the whole thing, too, coming out of Trump, too, is anti-female. He is really, really, really anti-female. I don't think that he respects women. I don't think he has any interest in the intellect of women. He downgrades a lot of people like Elizabeth Warren, who told him off. In no uncertain terms. Maxine Waters is not taking this nonsense. So we have to get really, really more forceful in exactly our movements, what we're going to be doing, how we're going to be organizing, and just to get, you know, get him out of the way. Yes?
I was going to add that I think what happens on the streets with youth and students that is similar to this huge, huge demonstration that the women called in Washington the day after the inaugural, and that seems to be catching on all over the country. Yeah. That's going to determine whether somebody gets impeached or held back or whether any legislation is passed and so on. I think that's crucial.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It certainly is.
Absolutely.
It certainly is. Well, Bill Katz, we know that you were just on for a short period of time, you know, hoping that you'll come back.
Well, thank you for
again.
Having me on.
Listen, thank you for being on. You know, I always rely on you with books. So.
Okay, Kay, and we'll be talking then.
Okay.
And it was great being on with your guests. Thank you.
Good night.
Indeed, enjoy.
Are we still on? Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, I hear a pregnant pause somewhere.
Pregnant?
So much was covered, though. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, Wayne, what's really interesting is that because this is Black History Month, you are familiar with the Grandfather Clause, right? Of 1898. Now, with Sessions coming in as Attorney General, it's important to understand what the Grandfather Clause was all about. It was enacted for voting purposes, and it was a legal or a constitutional mechanism passed by seven Southern states during Reconstruction to deny suffrage to Black Americans. And if anything is writing on the wall, folks,
We are really turning the clock back. I mean, you're absolutely right, Byron. You know, this plays into his campaign about bringing back America. You know,
all the way
back.
Yes, you know, and the voting suppression of voting rights. Eric, you know, we're at a turning point here.
Yeah, we are. They're really trying to take it back to a 1940s or a slavery time America, and it's really obvious that they're doing that. The main thing that is that what they're trying to do is also, you know, when he's trying to control the flow of information, right? When he tries to tell the Environmental Protection Agency, you know, some of them were tweeting out what was really going on in the environment, and he shut down their accounts. If you listen to the way that they speak, not only do they lie, but they make up things, but the things that they say, they'll throw words out there. Like I was watching Congressman Jason Chaffetz from Utah tonight on CNN, and what happened was that Wolf was talking to him, and they were talking about this Nordstrom issue, dropping of Ivanka Trump's products. So Chaffetz went on to say, a lot of presidents have made money. Barack Obama made money when he left the White House, and Wolf obviously corrected him and said he didn't come in with money and corrected the record. And then Chaffetz said, he's a father protecting his daughter, whoop, whoop. And then he said, because Nordstrom's, they have a political agenda against him. And I'm paraphrasing. And Wolf said, well, what do you mean by that? Explain it. Where'd you get that from? Why do you say that? And he said, I'm really kind of tired of talking about a wolf. We should talk about other things. I've spent enough time. So what they do, if you really listen to them, they'll throw something out there, a lie, a mistruth, a falsehood, a lie. I call them lies. I like to keep old school. But they'll throw a lie out there and let that float. Mm-hmm. And hopefully what they do is hope that picks up steam and picks up this momentum. So Chaffetz says, So now they say that Nordstrom's had a political agenda against Trump. No, he didn't. Maybe they just dropped it because nobody was buying his daughter's things. Now,
yeah, exactly. That's the point. That's clearly the point. But Trump is going to twist it another way.
Right, exactly. And just to show you the through line, I was also watching CNBC earlier today when that story first broke. And the main guy, I forget his name, one of the main guys who clearly is a Republican and a good, buys that whole ball of wax. The other people, you had the Becky Quick and this other woman, they were breaking down. He's crossed the line when he does that, talking about Trump, right? And the guy said, well, he's a father protecting his daughter, and you're right, he's crossing the line, but also there's been various groups that have been boycotting Ivanka Trump because she's Donald Trump's daughter. So he's getting back at them because they're playing politics. They're like, what does that have to do with it? And also, this is the result of what's called an economic boycott. She's a part of that. She's a part of the whole Trump thing. People are using the power of the purse to not deal with the Trumps. And now you have not only these surrogates for Trump, for the Republicans, trying to make that okay, but they're trying to find fault with one of the main things that people have to express their displeasure and to boycott and organize around, which is the power of the purse. And they're attacking that. Even Sean Spicer today, I don't know if you guys saw his press conference where Donald Trump said that was part of his, their Nordstrom is attacking his administration or some kind of leak that he tried to make. Because they decided not to sell this guy's kids' products, mm-hmm. It's ridiculous, Go ahead, Wayne.
No, I was just going to say, just as an aside, and again, there's a correlation here because as you mentioned, CNBC. I wanted to bring up before we close, if you've been watching, and again, maybe because I've been in broadcasting for a minute, along with Kay. and Byron, you know, I mean, all of us, you know, we've seen how unforgiving this business has been. And I notice all of a sudden there's been a shift at NBC in general. I was a little taken back that this young lady, Tamara Hall, one of our sisters, who did a bang-up job for that network for a number of years, was kicked to the curb to allow space for this Megyn Kelly to come in from Fox. And then I find even more despicable is that they've given an hour to Greta Van Susteren. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm just wondering because of the criticism that MSNBC, NBC, CNN particularly, and all the other so-called opposition outlets to Fox, if there's now a move in which they're looking to change the direction, because at least, you know, we had a point where at least one operation or two operations were against one. I don't know if this is about the balance, but it just seems so, I don't know, disturbing to see how suddenly that we may be witnessing a subtle change that if people who are in the business, and I haven't spoken to anyone that I would know at any of the networks recently to even comment on it, but my speculation is that Obama's out now. We see a reduction of black faces that were in the four during the 8 years, and they're trying to accommodate this theory that maybe there is fake news coming out of these networks. And let's bring in two people who are unhappy with Roger Ailes over at Fox and give them a wide berth at our liberal operation. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but, I mean, what do you all think about that?
But listen, how about O'Reilly? How about Bill O'Reilly? Yeah. He was really tearing into Trump.
I don't even
want
to talk about
him.
I was
so tickled. I was surprised.
It goes even deeper than that. It's that they're making an effort to – NBC is making an effort to go after the conservative market that Fox obviously has control of. And,
yeah.
and it's not even transparent. It's obvious. When you bring in Greta Sestern and you bring in Megan, you obviously are making an attempt to draw by bringing in two females who are lightning rods to a liberal station to go after the middle America market. They know that this is an intentional move on their behalf. It's sad that it's happening, but, you know, Wayne, I find it even more in keeping to those elements of what are early warning signs of fascism. And there are some serious levels here that when you start to analyze those moves being made, I mean, listen to these elements of fascism, powerful and continuing nationalism.
Right.
Disdain for human rights.
Mm-hmm.
Identification of enemies as a unifying cause.
Mm.
Supremacy of the military. Rampant sexism.
Yeah.
Controlled mass media.
That's old America.
That's right. Obsession with national security, religion and government intertwined, corporate power protected, labor power suppressed, disdain for intellectuals and the arts, obsession with crime and punishment, rampant cronyism and corruption, and last on the list, but not the least, fraudulent elections.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, let me just jump in real quick. Let me just jump in. And those are all elements of pre-Hitler type of society, right? Right, Byron?
That's exactly correct. That's right.
And I've noticed the same thing, Wayne, and I've noticed it even before that and just reading, you know, little articles and online and you see these little blurbs that the other women at the Today Show were not happy with Tamron and didn't like her and this and that. And, you know, she was probably getting the black girl treatment in the school. And also because she shines.
You know, when you're shining a lot and when you're standing out, and she had that type of personality that someone was trying to, you know, that you saw for a minute, because she was a correspondent long before she started getting all this heat, right? And she was on for a while. And she was the Saturday, she was the doing a lot of the Saturday stuff on the Today Show. And once they moved her into that main slot, and then they also gave her that hour with Al Roker and Natalie, and they had that other Today's Take, that 9 to 10 hour. You could tell after a minute they started to be these things. From what I read, and maybe it's just gossip and things like that, was that Savannah and all the other, her and Natalie were really battling, and then it skewed over to Savannah and then Matt. And that's why Natalie allegedly left to go do Access Hollywood. Now, and so I watched how they would react around Tamron, particularly when you had Hoda and Kathy Lee's show.
Yeah.
And Hoda, who's gotten over by kind of being racially ambiguous, or some people assuming she was black, and maybe probably some people assuming that she has some
Egyptian. Egyptian background or something.
She is Egyptian, but
which is not part of Africa, I guess, at NBC.
Well, it's not part of Africa as far as a lot of them feel. It's not part of Africa either, because they'll say I'm Egyptian, I'm not African. So I mean, but it's just funny how they kind of weeded her out, and then I noticed the same thing. Fox is falling apart. They got the molester over there that was running the show for a minute, right?
Yeah.
Everybody got tired
of
him, and all these women are scrambling now. Of course, you had Greta, and then Megan, who comes over. Remember, her, she was the one who said Santa Claus is not black.
Yeah.
Don't worry, kid. Mm-hmm. You know. So, you know, and even your girl Rachel. They had Rachel do a promo for Greta, talking about she's a nice person, give her a chance, yada yada. And I was getting ready to say I can't go with you there, Rachel.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
I'm pretty interested in what's going to happen with that. You know, because you know, the old Rachel Maddow I knew. Did not take any prisoners, and I know she's in a lofty position, and money somehow makes you kind of comfortable. You know, it's like you tend to lose your values to a certain extent.
Rachel gets it together, but you know, what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to BET from now on. They have some good programs on BET.
I'm waiting for you to buy BET.
My mother does not know what she speaks to. You have seen BET nowadays. BET is not the place to get any type of education. We love that they educate the kids.
Who wants
all that
to be educated at this particular point? We want to move
move. Yeah, don't take my mom seriously, all those people out there listening. But
no, I just want your mother to buy BET. I know she's got it. But she and Oprah.
Okay, we got to jump off now because ironically it's a minute and 30 seconds. So I'm going to have to say goodbye to everybody that's been listening to us. We want to encourage people to listen to us every Wednesday live, 9 p.m., blogtalkradio.com/KThompsonLive, or you can listen to the show archive. I want to say goodnight to our resident guest, the historian, Mr. Byron Saunders. Byron?
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Once again, it certainly has. And also our co-host there, Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman.
Always a pleasure to be with everybody.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. As always, and throughout my life, I am the sun. Sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes it's a pleasure. I'm Eric Payne, and you are?
Kay Thompson. Join us next week, everyone, Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. We do have fun, but we aim to give you a lot of information that maybe you don't hear on the other stations, on the other shows. And join us again. Kay Thompson Live.